It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27. We're going to begin reading with verse 57 today. And so please that you'd open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. And while you're doing that and while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, it's 217-440-4402. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We are coming to the very burial of the Lord Jesus here as we continue to take our time and really look at this, at what our Savior has done for us. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. There was Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day, that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again, and commanded, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, He is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity today to come together and just enjoy this wonderful time, this precious scripture that you have given us. Please guide and lead us through it now today. I pray, as we always do, that everyone knows you as their Savior, but we know that that's not true. We know that there are many folks that think they're fine. They're church members, faithful to the church, tithe, been baptized, all the things that are there. But they have missed the most important, and that is to listen to the Holy Spirit as He convicts you of your sin and introduces you to the Lord Jesus. If you're one that has said, you know, I have always believed, there is a day that the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and introduces you to Jesus. There's a day that you repent. You know that you're a sinner, and you know you need a Savior. That day is a day you'll never forget. And so to say, I've always believed, you've believed in a religion. You've believed in something, Father, and we just ask that the truth be made known and be clear today, that you need to be born again. Please, Lord, touch every heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have had a wonderful, wonderful study. And as we come to the close of the day that Jesus was crucified. And that's just where we find ourselves here. It says, when the even was come, therefore came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple, went to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus, and then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. That was not the custom of the day. The custom of the day was for the criminals to stay on the cross, just die slowly. But due to being the Passover and the control that the Jews had, there was enough influence there that they came through, broke the legs of the two criminals on each side of the Lord Jesus, found the Lord Jesus was already dead. He'd already gave up the ghost. He did not die from the pain. He did not die from the loss of blood. He died because that was the time. He gave up the ghost. He, Jesus, at that time, that was the time. And he gave up the ghost. But it seems strange that the Romans would care about the celebration of the Passover to have even the criminals, because they did. Again, normally you would have let the criminals hang on the cross till they were dead. And even after they were dead, they were allowed or kept up on that cross to where the vultures would come and literally pluck the flesh right off. And there would be very little left to throw on the dunghill after possibly days. So you see, that was this was really something. God's hand was in on this, because he saw fit to break the legs of the other two so that they were dead, so they came down off the cross before nightfall. And then also with the Lord Jesus. It was not customary for a criminal to be buried. Again, the vultures come, would pluck the flesh right off, and then whenever they took a notion, they would take them down off the cross and throw them in the garbage heap. That's where they treated criminals. They weren't buried. And so, to receive this honor of a correct burial for the Lord Jesus was something that God had to have his hand in on. Because as we read here, the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph. I believe Joseph was very well known. And what wasn't well known was that he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus. He was a born-again believer. There was a time in his life that he trusted Jesus as his Savior. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Begged the body of Jesus. Joseph needed to ask permission to remove the body. Again, normally a criminal would just be left on the cross for days until the vultures devoured everything but the skeleton. But in this case, the two criminals even was brought to death sooner, quicker, because of the religious holiday that the Jews were celebrating, and that was the Sabbath. Now, when we find here, we find in verse 58, and he went to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus, then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And so the Romans took the body of the Lord Jesus down, gave it to Joseph. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Now, let's go back to Mark chapter 15. Verse 46, and we'll even back up just a little bit from there. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and so one, it has kind of reference that the maybe Romans took him down. Here in Mark, it would seem that Joseph had taken him down, and we know as we're going to read the rest of the Gospels with this, we'll find that Nicodemus was part of this as well. And so, and he brought the linen, bought linen, fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. Now let's go to Luke. I love reading all the Gospels, each one. Luke 53. I'm sorry, 23, verse 53. Luke 23, 53. We'll actually start at verse 52. And this man went unto Pilate, and just back up to 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just man. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in the sepulcher, which was hewn in stone, wherein never a man before was laid. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Now, we're going to go to John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19, verse 39. Start at verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, we just learn a little more each time, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus. We're finding Nicodemus. It came Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. Remember back John chapter 3, verse 3. And we find that Jesus told him, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus was. And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. And then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in the linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Love those verses of Scripture. We're going to go back to a verse of Scripture back in Isaiah 53:9. Isaiah 53, verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Seven hundred plus years before Jesus was born, it was prophesied that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Rich man's tomb. Back to verse 61 in Matthew 27. And there was Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulcher. There was a great stone, as it tells us, back in verse 57. And we know that he was a rich man, and so he had hewn this this little cave, the sepulcher, out. Never had been used before. And it tells us that he was a very rich man and a very faithful man, because he was risking his life when he went to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus, because those bodies were never buried, and yet God saw fit that that would take place. And then now down to 62. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation. Now this is chapter 27, verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Now the next day does not necessarily mean the following day, as we count our days or the calendar. To the Jews, the next day was at sunset. So just as soon, even though it was the Passover and they should have never been doing this kind of business, it didn't matter, because the chief priests and the Pharisees, the religious bunch, went together, it tells us, unto Pilate. And so all they did was waited till after nightfall of that what we would call the same day. You know, if Jesus was put in the grave at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or at 6 o'clock, you know, and here, why it in the summertime it gets dark at 9, in the wintertime it gets dark at 5. At sunset, it becomes the next day. And so immediately at sundown, these Jews went to Pilate to ask to have the tomb guarded. They knew he was dead. They knew he was dead. Remember, they pierced him, his side. They knew he was dead. And they called him and said, the deceiver. That's what they called him. I don't think they believed for one second that he was going to raise from the dead. But they were fearful of the followers. You see, they missed it all. They missed the joy of having their sins forgiven with the death of the Lord Jesus. And they missed it all when they were talking about that they're going to come and steal a body, because there's no man, even though they witnessed him raising Lazarus from the dead. He raised others from the dead. He healed the sick, the blind, the lame, all the things that they witnessed, and yet they refused to believe that he was God. So the concern was not that he was going to be raised from the dead. The concern was that his followers would come and steal the body away. And if they did that, then they would say he's raised from the dead. And so it would seem that it'd be hard to stop that rumor from going. I believe, too, that they also saw something different in Jesus, in the way he died, the way he spoke, again, the miracles that he performed. It's verse 63 here. Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Now, we're going to be talking about that when we get to the beginning of chapter 28, but we're going to kind of expose you to this right now, because religion tells us that Jesus died on Good Friday. The reason that everybody has believed that is because it speaks of the Sabbath. If you would study the Jewish calendar, you would find that there are high days or special Sabbath days during the Passover. This was the celebration of the Passover. And if you would question that, you said, boy, I've never heard that it wasn't good. It was, let me just help you with it. It was Wednesday. Because when the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, when they come to Pilate to ask for this guard, they're asking for a Roman guard for 3 days. For 3 days. They're not looking at a quarter of a day on Friday afternoon and then counting the next day. That's man's doing. That's man's doing. And so understand that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. And there you have the 3 days and three nights, as the scripture quotes Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And yet all the world has accepted that he was crucified on Good Friday. No. You need to understand that. But even the Romans that were involved in this and the Jews that were involved in this, after 3 days I will rise again. And so here in verse 64, the commander therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day. Till the third day. And it was 3 days. That's Roman days, not Jewish partial days as they've talked about. That's Roman days. And Jewish days as well, 3 days and three nights. We don't know when Jesus came out of the grave, but he rose again sometime after nightfall on Saturday night. That becomes the first day of the week, Sunday. Isn't it something how that they couldn't put their finger on what was really different? But they were concerned that somebody would come and steal the body. And again, they couldn't really put their finger on it, but they asked and received a watch. Now, isn't it something how that the Pilate, again, Pilate here, I don't believe ever got saved. But Pilate knew there was something. He repeatedly said, and his wife said, you need to have nothing to do with this man. And Pilate continually said, I find no fault. I find no fault in this man. But they were so determined. And so they asked for a guard, and they got a guard. They got a watch. And again, that verse 63 said, sir, we remember what he said. He said in 3 days, in 3 days. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day. Okay, let's go back to Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew 12, 38. And certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days, 3 nights. Very simple. Very simple. So many things we have been deceived. It's very simple. You see, in that verse of Scripture, back in Matthew chapter 12, they asked Jesus for a sign. So I'm not going to give you a sign. You always ask for a sign. Jonah, 3 days and 3 nights. It seemed they remembered the 3 days. So they did all they could do to see that that didn't happen. So the tomb was put under a heavy guard for at least 3 days. At least 3 days. And the very scripture says here in verse 64, Matthew 27:64, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. They called Jesus a deceiver, an imposter. So if he had deceived the people in his life, then they stealing his body and telling the people that he had risen bodily from the dead, that would even deceive more people. That's what they were concerned about. So God allowed the enemies of Jesus to contribute to the strong argument to prove that Jesus rose from the dead. 3 days, armed guard. The Jews, chief priests and Pharisees, did everything in their power, even including the greatest enemy they had, and that was Rome, to help secure the body of Jesus. They had to keep Jesus in that tomb past 3 days. That was the goal. Ye have your watch, the scripture says. And at this point, Pilate didn't care, have your watch. And he said, go your way, make it sure as you can. And you see, Pilate even left the details up to the Jews. And verse 66, so they went, made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So they went. It would seem that the chief priests and the Pharisees went along to check to see that the guards were put into place, sealing the stone. You know, they first stretch a cord across the door, across this stone, and then they seal both sides of it. And that way, if that cord would be broken, there was evidence that somebody had tampered with it, you see. And so they used wax or clay to use the official, Pilate's official seal to close it. And so they can say that the sepulcher was sealed under the power of Rome, so no one could remove the body of Jesus. Setting a watch. Heavy stone, cord, the seal. Now the watch. what are we going to find in 3 days? My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?